Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, and today we'll be doing a football recap of the SFL Week 1, and tonight my host is Cliff. How are you, Cliff?
I'm good.
That's good. Let's get the plugs out of the way, and then we'll dive right into this. Listen to Boxman and Anthony on Mistler.com every Wednesday night. Mistler.com/DirtSheetDudes every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. and every Friday night at 10 p.m. on Mistler.com/DirtSheetDudes. And listen to us every Friday night at 9 p.m. on Block Talk Radio and every Sunday night 6 or 7 o'clock p.m., depending on when we can do it. And you can find us on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google, and I think iHeart, too. Well, let's dive into this. It was the first week of the new SFL relaunch, and there was four games, and what were your overall thoughts on the first weekend of the new SFL, Cliff?
Okay, my opening thoughts, I have to say this. One thing I wanted to know was how with the new rules with the kickoffs, how they had things lined up. That was the only thing interesting, which didn't really affect the game that much.
Yeah.
If you watch the third game, the Tampa Bay Vipers and then New York Guardians, you saw the kickoff rules didn't really affect it. You saw two big returns. Back-to-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, really wasn't that much offense as much as they said they wanted to be around them. Which I was surprised.
Yeah,
but,
and I think I get that because it's still the first week, so.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that there was like no 2-point attempts or 3-point extra point attempts?
Well, it was.
So I was
no,
waiting for that.
No, there were 2-point attempts. There was no 3-point.
Oh, there were? Okay,
yeah, there were
I must have missed a 2-point.
Yeah, I think
It was mostly 1-point.
Yeah, it was mostly 1-point, so it was some 2-point conversions in there.
Yeah, the first game, they couldn't convert anything. They kept missing the 1-point conversions. Now,
Well, let me say this. I'm not sure, but remember in the AAF, they also did not do extra point after touchdowns. They just went for 2-point conversions too last year when the AAF was.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they didn't do kicks either.
Yeah, AAF did not do kicks at all. They just said you had to go for 2-point conversions, and then if you wanted to, there was no kickoffs in the AAF either. They were just just get the ball from the 20 yard line.
Okay, that's interesting.
And if you wanted to do like a long size kick or whatnot inside like 2 minutes, I know like the fourth quarter was like you had to convert a 4th and 15 from the 35.
Wow.
And that was their online. Yeah.
That's interesting. But
yeah.
In the first game, What was your thoughts on the first game? Did anybody stand out to you in that game?
I'll say the quarterback from DC Defenders. He stood out to me the most.
Carlyot Jones? Yeah, he did. He was really impressive. He was really good in college. So he led Ohio State to national championship. So I think he's probably going to be the best quarterback in the in the league besides Landry Jones.
Yeah, and then you also remember, too, as Eagles running back, they're starting running Donald Humphrey, part of the Super Bowl winning Eagles. They used to be on these defenders, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wait, where? What team did he play for?
DC.
Humphrey?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he was really good. The DC receivers, Eli Rogers. Remember him from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I think was it Eli Rogers? It was somebody Rogers. I think it was Eli. And then you had, he had 6 catches, 73 yards. He was really impressive. Over on the Seattle side, Seattle was pretty good in the first half, and then DC just took over, but they look decent themselves. They didn't look like the worst team in the league like everybody else thought they would be.
Yeah,
the defenders beat them 31-19. It wasn't that much of an offense. It was kind of an offensive game.
It was kind of offensive, but it wasn't like a perfect, like a football game. Knowing you got the new rules, the play clock, which I was kind of impressed with, because I figured with like the running clock and then also with just the 25, how it wasn't that much of a factor. And I think we only had one delay of game penalty, which I was thinking we were going to have probably a lot of delay. If we was going to have a lot of flag thrown in the NFL, it was going to be because of the 25 clock, the play clock, which really didn't really come too much of a factor, which I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought there was more defensive penalties than anything. But there wasn't even that many on Saturday, at least. How do you like the broadcast and how they interact with the coaches and interact with, when they go to replay? You get to see the inside. You get to see the replay guy actually talk to the ref.
If you know what, there's one thing the NFL should take from the XFL, and that's how they do reviews in the XFL.
Yep.
I like that really much.
Oh, I loved it. I loved how they went inside the booth and how the replay guy broke it down to the referee, and it took what, 30 seconds to look at the referee. They broke it down, and boom, you knew. You're not sitting on your edge of the seat waiting for a call for like 5 minutes.
Commercial day to come back.
Yeah, they go to commercial and they're still not ready. That's the one thing I like about XFL, is the replays. And they actually call right penalties too, like the pass interferences. They're not stingy like the NFL where they'll just throw
flags. Looking at where's the catch. I do like the 1 foot and the. I do like the college rules of catching, simplify the game.
Yep.
So, yeah, I understand. So you want to get that 1 foot and bounce. To me, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
1 foot, 2 foot, don't care. The catch is no matter. And I also like how when they go to replay, I think it was in the third game, I think Tampa Bay, one reception.
Yeah.
Was a catch of fumble, how they broke down.
Yeah.
How they broke down
the one that
fumble.
The catch and fumble, the first one. The one that wasn't a catch and then he didn't fumble it. But then the second one, I think it was even the same receiver that caught it and then he fumbled. He fumbled it the second time.
Yeah.
Now, the second game was really kind of a doozy because Houston just rolled. They just destroyed the LA Wildcats, which I'm really surprised at. I thought LA was going to be a lot closer game. Houston really impressed me this weekend. They were the most They were the team that surprised me the most.
Yeah.
What's up? Paul Walker. I mean,
PJ,
not Paul Walker. PJ Walker was pretty good.
Walker.
Yeah, he was 23 for 39, 59%, and 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The running backs didn't really stand out, but and then LA didn't really. I thought Josh Johnson was their quarterback. Is he injured?
That I'm not sure.
Yeah, they had different quarterbacks, which is really weird. I thought they and LA is supposed to have some good receivers. They had just one receiver that had 15 targets and 11 catches for 103 yards.
Yeah,
I don't know his name. Sparse or something.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah,
the Roughnecks roughed up the Wildcats 37-17 in the second game. Then you go to Sunday, which is the most disappointing one, I think, for you and me, because we were rooting for Tampa Bay. I thought Tampa Bay came out flat. I don't know what happened.
Man.
They couldn't get... Every time they got in the red zone, they turned the ball over. I was really disappointed in Aaron Murray. I thought he was going to be better than that.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Flowers?
Well, here's what I say about the third game of the season. Matt Groh,
yeah,
was a former Eagles quarterback, preseason quarterback. He got cut
in Penn State.
Yeah, from Penn State, he did get cut from the Eagles. Well, really, really impressive to me. I mean, New York, especially their defense, can be one to watch.
Yeah, I thought the Guardians played really well. They held the Vipers to 3 points, and going into the season, Vipers were one of the most balanced teams in the league for from people because they had some good receivers, some good running backs, and good defense. But they didn't show it on Sunday. I mean, it's only week one, so next week we could be talking about how the Guardians got destroyed by defenders. So we'll see. It's going to be a week to week. I don't think there's any
can't really say
amazing
standout
team.
Teams. Good.
Yeah, there's no standout team yet. There's no best team yet because anything could change next week. Yeah, Aaron Murray disappointed me, but I was impressed with Flowers. I liked how they used him in the second half of the game. Wish they used him like that in the first half. The Smith running and the running back for the Vipers impressed me. Smith, I think DeAndre Smith.
Yeah.
Was it DeAndre?
Yeah, Johnny Smith. 16 attempts on the ground for 79 yards.
Yep. And then you had Williams. I don't know his first name, but he had 6 catches for 123. I mean, they did put up some numbers, but they couldn't get in the end zone, as I said.
Yeah, it was good in between the 20. Once it got to the red zone, they just started throwing the ball over and turn.
Yeah, the offensive plays were in the red zone were awful. And then, and I think the best game of the weekend, even though it was only 15-9, it was Battlehawks going to Dallas and beating the Reganades. Dallas, who are the favorites? Who were the favorites to win it all from Vegas? So they had the best odds of winning it, which is funny because I think they're overrated, but I mean, we'll see what happens when they play. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that now because it could they could destroy whoever they play next week with Landry Jones if he comes back. But Landry Jones is going to make a difference. And then you got Lance Dunbar, who's made a name for himself in Dallas, playing for the Dallas Cowboys all those years. He was kind of impressive. We all know he can catch out of the backfield. No other running back stood out from that team. Matt Jones is the one who stood out for me for Matt Jones.
I mean, in that game, it was more like a defensive battle.
Anything else?
Yeah. I think Matt Jones is for St. Louis is going to be a good running back. I like their quarterback. He looks like he's going to be a dual threat. You see that run he made? That was impressive.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce his name. It's like, I think he went to Hawaii or something. Or BYU.
Yeah, it's like
Yeah, I think it's Hawaii. I believe he went to BYU. Which one?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that he's really a dual threat. That, and it's going to be interesting watching him go for like 77 yards. Most of that, he won the game by himself. Like, true. I mean, you see that on defense set it up. But when it was like those fourth and third, those ones he broke off. Not only did he have over 200 yards rush passing the ball, but he also had 77 on the ground.
Exactly. And I think, as we said, when Landry Jones comes back, I think Dallas is going to be a different team. And Bob Stoops is probably the best coach in the league. I mean, he's the most recognized coach in the league. So I expect them to be better next week. Who did they play next week? Week two, you have the New York Guardians versus the DC Defenders on Saturday at 2. You have the Vipers in Seattle at 5 o'clock. And then Sunday, you have Dallas in LA, which should be interesting. And then you got St. Louis and Houston, which should be interesting. That's weird. Dallas plays the team Dallas, LA, St. Louis, and Houston. I think they all flip flop their opponents.
Yeah. Well, everybody will play everybody at least once. So
yeah.
You got two extra.
Yeah, because Houston's playing who Dallas played, and Dallas is playing who Houston played, and vice versa in the East. But let's see. You have any more thoughts on Week One?
No, I mean I was really impressed about the whole thing. It's going to be interesting to watch how once the game finally gets like introduced, how it's going to go. I already like market. I mean, rating wise, they said they outdid, they over projected what they did, what they were suspecting.
Well, were the ratings, were they decent? Pretty good.
Yeah, they was pretty good. I know they said they outdid when it came to ticket sales. The AAF debut, they said they outdid any game the AAF ever did one weekend on a ball before they pulled it. Yeah, that and by a long shot, which I can't believe because I did watch the AAF last year and it wasn't really that interesting to watch, but the stadiums look a lot empty when you're watching the game.
In AFL? On that AAF? Was it?
Yeah, AAF. Alliance American Football, AAF.
Yeah. And they didn't even finish the season.
Yeah.
They stopped in, what, week 10? A week
They were another 7-week season, but they stopped in week 8. They just canceled all the games.
They were 2 weeks away from finishing the season. They couldn't even finish it. Wow.
Well, they wanted to be like a expansion of the NFL.
Yeah.
But what the NFL wanted, they said they wanted players like the rookies and like practice squad players who didn't get playing time. They want their players to come to the AAF. Almost like what the NFL, if you ever watch the NFL Europe, how they used to be.
Yeah.
The players to get like experience, playing time.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So that's exactly what they. But the NFL wasn't going to have it until after, like they wanted to wait until after they get a new PDA contract to come out, like the players' contract and stuff. They wanted, but they didn't want to wait that long, so they just folded.
Yeah. But now we have the SFL. So, do you see anybody from the NFL like jumping to the SFL? Like some backups. I was thinking about this last night. Like, can you envision like Nick Foles if he got cut and went to SFL if Philadelphia had a team or something?
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I've seen tweets of NFL players congratulating the SFL and how much you saw the interview with Troy Aikman did last night at the Dallas game.
Yeah, there was a few NFL players that did the game. Greg Olsen, who just retired, right? He was doing the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah.
So, I don't think there's like this real beef between the two leagues. Like, I think there's like mutual respect between the two leagues. And if you're not making it in the NFL, come to the SFL. And it's funny, I was comparing, I think I messaged you this, I was saying that the SFL is kind of like the AEW of football, because they're a new startup league, new startup company.
Yeah.
Who's going up against a big company. And ironically, the one that created all this is Vince McMahon, the SFL, and AEW is going against his company. So that's just ironic. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think as the season goes along, I think it's going to get better. It's only going to get better. I think we're going to see more high-scoring games. I think once these teams get used to each other and these quarterbacks get in rhythm, and some of the quarterbacks, like Landry Jones, who was missing, and I think there was another quarterback that was not playing. Once they get into rhythm, I think you're going to see these teams. I think the points are going to show, and I think you're going to have – I think more teams are going to start going for twos and threes. I think in the first week they just wanted to get settled in.
Right.
So I hope week two teams start doing that, because that's what I was waiting for. Because I wanted to see that.
Yeah, 3-point conversion. Well,
it's
really one thing I do like about the SFL too. You being down by 17 is only being down by two scores compared to a basic 3-score game. You're still down by.
Yeah. Because you go for three, that's two times, you can take the lead, 18-17. You can win.
Yeah.
In like 5 minutes, you could be up 17-0 and down 18-17 with 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
So let's get to some predictions, and then we'll wrap this up.
All right.
I think we have like 20 minutes. So. The New York Guardians will play DC on Saturday. I think DC is going to win this one. What do you think?
All right. When I look at it as these are two teams that had like both defenses that stand out. All last week, I think New York and D.C. defense stepped it up. Mainly New York with the two INTs forced over by, in the red zone of Tampa Bay. So if I had to go, I'm probably going to go with New York to go get the second one. But it's going to be a defensive battle if both defenses. And then plus, I think New York probably have a better offense than D.C.
Yeah.
So compare, I want to go with New York in this one.
All right. I go with D.C. But I think that's going to be a good rivalry, just like in the NFL. I think that's a good inner Eastern rivalry. And then you got Tampa Bay and Seattle, two teams that are looking for their first win. This one's hard because Tampa Bay didn't really impress me. Seattle kind of impressed me. So I'm going to go with Tampa Bay because I like Tampa Bay. So I'm going to go to Tampa Bay to go on the road and find their offense and win a close game in Seattle.
Oh, man. I think Tampa Bay did not do a trust me whatsoever. And that's why, I was a big fan of them going in and watching what, how Seattle held up against the defenders. I'm thinking one would lead more to Seattle this week. I need Tampa Bay to show me some more something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to Seattle this week.
Okay. And then Sunday, the first game is Dallas and L.A. at 3 p.m., which, Dallas and L.A., from L.A., I'm going to go with Dallas because Dallas is going to get Landry Jones back, and they are one of the top teams coming into the season, and I expect them to come back and get this victory in a close game against L.A. I think L.A. is going to show a little more fight than they did against Houston. So I like Dallas in this one to edge them out.
It's kind of hard. Feel like I'm not sure. They say Landry Jones is going to play, but if Landry Jones doesn't play, I'm going with L.A. Wildcard Cats all the way.
Yeah, I can see that too. I'll probably go L.A. if Landry doesn't play either. And now St. Louis and Houston, I think this could be the game of the week besides that D.C. and New York. St. Louis Battlehawks, I think they're a sleeper in the league. I think same thing with Houston. Both teams impressed me. Since Houston's at home, I'm going to go with Houston with a win and to improve it to 2-0.
Yeah, I'm going to take Houston. I think P.J. Walker has a lot to show, and he's going to really impress everybody this season.
Yeah. I think he could be a sleeper for MVP. But I think Cadillac Jones is probably the favorite. But too early to talk about MVP right now. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Especially after week, so.
Exactly. 5 weeks from now, we could be talking about, I don't know, Seattle being the best team. So, who knows? You have any final thoughts before we head out?
No. I'm just going to look forward to another great week. It's actually nice to watch the Starter League and everything goes as smoothly as planned. I think it was a better...
Yeah.
If I compare it to, like, the first week, the first go-around, I'll say the games were much better. More focus was actually on football than anything else compared to what it was in 2001.
Yeah, I was very impressed. It lived up to my expectations. I had fun watching it. I thought the officials were good. I thought the replays, the way they do the replays, was excellent. I thought the interaction with the coaches and players, I think that was interesting. That was innovative. So I think NFL can learn a lot from this. I don't know if they will.
So how do you feel about the way the sideline reporters can just go up to a player right after a play and get do interviews, especially I think as a one this field goal, they can just run up to you and just ask you your thoughts about the play, what you saw right away compared to just waiting until after a half or anything else?
I think it's different. I think it's kind of like what they do in I think it's different from any other sport. I think maybe a little WWE in there, because in WWE they do little interviews sometimes after the wrestlers wrestle, or in the UFC. So I think it was different. Would they allow too much? Maybe. If it becomes a little too much, then maybe they should just not do it every time they score. But especially if it's the same player. But what do you think?
I find it interesting. In a way, it might be done like a little overdo it sometimes, but you don't know. It has its ups and downs. Let's put it that way. You don't know if you're
exactly. Yeah. I think both of us really it lived up to the expectations for both of us, and we look forward to talking about it next week. If you're available, I think if you're available,
yeah, probably
we can.
Yeah.
And maybe Doug will join us next week. He wasn't available today, so shout out to Doug and Daniel. This has been the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, SFL Week 1 Recap and Week 2 Predictions for Cliff and me. Everybody have a good night. Thank you, Cliff.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you later, man.
Yep. See you next week.
All right. See you next week. Bye.
Later. Bye, everybody.